Yeah, there was a meeting down in Oak Grove I was at today, and I said, well, I know where I can go to a good church that's close by, because I want to tell you all about something, and Pastor said to make sure to make my announcement before we preach. The thing is, I want you all to add something to your personal prayer list. Kentucky has only one abortion clinic left in our entire state, and Governor Bevin has brought a case to have that closed. The court case went last week, Wednesday, and it closed out Friday. Now, each side has, now that the case is over, has 60 days to present the judge post-trial briefings, and then the judge will give his ruling. So for the next 60 days, I need you all to be praying. The judge's name is Greg Stivers. He's a U.S. District Judge. And I know the law is on our side. I don't know if the judge is on our side, but the law actually is. They're not fulfilling the law. So if you would pray for Greg Stivers, the judge, because if we can stop the abortion flow and the blood flow in our state, they say if America is a body, then Kentucky is its heart. And we could see abortion. There's only six other states that have only one abortion clinic in them. And it's widely publicized that if Kentucky closes its last one, that it'll be a domino effect. And did you know, again, abortion's only been legal in the state since the early 70s. And with the number of judges that President Trump gets to appoint during his term, we might live to see abortion made illegal again in our lifetime in the next few years. So I hope that you will take some time to pray. Maybe if the Lord put it on your heart, to fast and pray so that we can get this ruling to stop the blood flow in our state. And I would much appreciate that. That's the number one thing you can do to help Brother Lee up there in Frankfort. I think most of you know, but those of you who don't, I serve as a missionary / chaplain to the Kentucky State Capitol. And so I'm there every day. I teach Bible studies. I pass out Bibles. I try to win souls just like the work of a missionary. And if anybody needs a missionary, it's the people in politics. So I had a full head of hair before I started working up there. Well, maybe not quite. But anyway, it is a joy to be with you all. I've had a chance to stand behind this pulpit, I think, twice other. And it's a joy, and I sure appreciate it. So take your Bibles, please, tonight. We're going to be in three different places. We're probably going to start, excuse me, let's start over in the book of Psalm. Let's go to the last of the Psalms, Psalm 150. I'm an old-fashioned Baptist preacher, so I enjoy when people participate in the service. If you say amen and praise the Lord and hallelujah, I like that kind of stuff. And the more you do, the shorter and better sermon you'll get, too. Now, as long as it's in English, we'll get along just fine. If it's not, we may have to change and do a little Bible study. But kind of reminds me of the story in the Old West. There was this preacher out in the Old West and his church there in the prairie, and the pastor had passed away. So they get a pulpit committee together, and they hire this new young preacher to be their pastor in the Old West. And the deacon said, now, preacher, we and the deacon board are going to give you a gift. We are going to give you the old pastor's horse. And the young preacher said, well, much obliged. And the old deacon said, wait a minute, preacher. Now, this has always been a Baptist preacher horse. So this horse will not start when it hears giddy up. This horse will only start when it hears the words, praise the Lord. So the preacher said, I got it. And the deacon said, now, wait a minute, preacher. This has always been a Baptist preacher horse. So this horse will not stop when it hears woe. This horse only stops when it hears amen. So the young preacher said, I got it. So he thanks the deacon, he gets on the horse, and he yells, praise the Lord. So the horse takes off. But while he's been talking to the deacon, storm clouds have come up. And there's a clap of thunder, a flash of lightning, and it spooks the horse. So the horse starts tearing off through the woods, and the branches are hitting the preacher, and the rain and the hail, and he's like, whoa, horse, whoa. But that's not the word. And then the preacher remembers something. He's like, wait a minute, the bridge is out, and this dumb horse is going to jump off the cliff and drown us both in the river. What was that word that deacon said? It was a religious word. Hallelujah, Mephibosheth. He can't think of the word. So the last thing he does, like all Baptists, is pray. He says, oh, dear Lord, please make this horse stop before it jumps off the cliff and drowns us both. Amen. And the horse heard amen. And so the horse stops right at the edge of the cliff. The young preacher looks down and goes, woo, praise the Lord. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. is praising the Lord. All right. So if you have found your place in the 150th Psalm, if you are capable, if you would stand, please, that we may honor the reading of the perfect, preserved, inspired, infallible, inerrant. Got any questions where I stand that should clear it up? Word of God. This is what the Holy Book says, Psalm 150, and it's so short, it's only six verses, so we'll read the whole chapter. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your presence tonight, your throne of mercy, and we want to come to you, Father, with praise, as the Word has commanded us to do, and that you are worthy. We thank you, Father, and we praise you for another day of life. I thank you, Father, and praise you for this mild summer that you've given us, and we ask, Father, for those who are now even going through a hard time because of the recent weather, that you would take care of them, as been asked before. Most importantly, Father, we invite your Holy Spirit's presence to meet with us here tonight. You know what each heart needs, whether they need comfort, Father, or conviction or conversion, whatever it is, Father, then may the sweet Holy Spirit have the free reign to do his work. By the name and the blood of Christ, we ask you to bind any evil spirits that are here, Father, that have tried to distract from the preaching of your word. It is in Jesus' name that we thank you, we praise you, and we ask, amen and amen. Thank you, and please be seated. You notice here it says in this last verse, it says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So if I had to give the sermon a title, I'd call it Loose Your Tongue or Hold Your Breath. Because that's what the Bible says to do. Now, this is just as much a command to praise the Lord as any other command you're ever going to read in Scripture. It's just as much a command as thou shalt not steal, commit adultery, or anything else. Repeatedly it says we are to praise the Lord. I heard the old preacher say one time that we need to have a say-so service. Because it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But you know what happens whenever preachers, I'm an evangelist. I'm in a different church most weeks out of the year. I'm somewhere else. I was telling preacher, now this Sunday will be the first time in 9 months that I'm going to be in my home church because I just don't have a meeting. And you know what? I see a lot of different churches. And when pastors say, has anybody got a word of testimony tonight? You know what usually happens 99% of the time? Nothing happens. Crickets. And then eventually he'll say, well, praise the Lord, and then he'll just go on. These things ought not be so, church. We ought to be able to say, you know what, a preacher should have to choose between different people saying, I got something I want to testify and praise the Lord about. I want to tell how good he's been to me. And now I'll tell you what usually happens is somebody will stand up and say, well, because after a while, if it's quiet, they feel guilty and they'll stand up and say, well, I want to praise the Lord for saving me. And you know what the next person says? And I know you've all seen it. Well, I want to praise the Lord for saving me and for this church. And the third guy says, well, I want to praise the Lord for saving me for this church and for our pastor. And you've all seen it before, and don't say that you haven't. All right? Because that's the way it is. All right? And don't get me wrong. I mean, those are all things we should praise the Lord for, and that those are good. But you know what I've seen when it's really, I think we're just kind of checking the box when we do that. Pastor asks for testimony, I give testimony, I praise the Lord, check, I'm good. I don't think the Lord's impressed when we're checking a box. You ever go to Walmart? And you go to Walmart and they hire this little old person and they'll stand in there and they'll say, welcome to Walmart, I'm glad you're here. Now, if they didn't pay that guy $7 or $8 an hour, he wouldn't care if you were there or not. And we all know that too. And yet it's okay. We know that the only reason he's glad I'm there is because he's getting paid to say it. But you know what? It's different when you're in the Lord's house. And when you greet people, they can tell whether you mean it or not. I was bragging on y'all. I go to, again, a lot of different churches. I'm probably close to 100 churches a year between Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. This is one of the only places where almost everybody came through that door, greeted me, shook my hand. A lot of you introduced yourselves, and good on you, because I don't get that a lot of places. A lot of people, they don't care. I'm glad that you care. But you know what? I think what the God wants, he wants us to care not only enough to do something, but he wants something genuine from our heart. And you know the best praise and testimonies that I've ever seen they start like this. And the person is unable to speak because it's just flowing over in their hearts. I'm 45. I'll be 46 later this month. There's about 8 shopping days left if you all want to get something. Whatever the 20th is, how many days away that is. I grew up in independent, fundamental, King James, missionary, pastorized, you know, you got to say all these things, Baptist church. And in all that time, there's only a handful of times where I can say it broke out, as the old timers say. I was blessed to be in a service like that earlier this year. Service lasted 2.5 hours, and the preacher never got in the pulpit to preach. Just broke out. And you know how? It's the same way it's happened all the other times that I've ever seen it, very rarely. They started singing and praising the Lord, and then somebody stood up and said, I just want to brag on God what God's been doing. And somebody else stood up and they got right. Somebody else praised the Lord for what he's done. And God's people just started praising him in song and in testimony, and God's Spirit came and did a mighty work. Y'all ever been in a service like that? When was the last time? When's the last time you stood up and said, I just want to testify and I want to praise the Lord for what he's done? When's the last time you stood up to do that and the joy and the worship in your heart just overflowed so much that it was, as the book says, in groanings that cannot be uttered? That's where you give somebody start speaking in tongues. No, it says groanings that cannot be uttered, because the Spirit has to interpret that. Holy Spirit knows what you're saying when you're like that. The Bible says that we are to praise the Lord. Keep your a mark there in Psalm 150 and turn over, please, to the book of Acts, chapter number 8. I want to talk about a time when a guy started praising the Lord and what happened to him. Here we have in Acts, chapter number 8, very familiar passage of Scripture. This is when you have Philip the evangelist has had a great meeting, lots of people getting saved, but God tells him, leave this great meeting and go off to the desert. And at the desert, he only meets one guy. It's the Ethiopian eunuch. Ethiopian eunuch's been reading Isaiah, what chapter would that be? 51 or 53? Isaiah, I think 53. The famous chapter where he was led as a lamb before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And so he's like, well, who's this guy talking about, himself or some other man? Philip goes in and preaches to him Jesus. And then the eunuch gets saved. He gets baptized. And then after he gets baptized, old Philip goes on his way, I guess. And then the eunuch goes on. Now notice, with that being said, let's pick up the story in Acts chapter number 8, and let's come to verse number 39. And when the way were there come up out of the water, notice he didn't get sprinkled, he came up out of the water, all right? The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went his way rejoicing. And so this eunuch, of course, he's praising God. Philip's praising God. Somebody got saved. The Ethiopian eunuch's praising God. It's like, wow, I just got all this explained to me. Now, does it make sense that if you have read 53 chapters of a book, that you're probably going to go ahead and keep reading until you get to the end of the book? This eunuch has read up to Isaiah 53, which is where the chapter. So what happened when he kept reading? Well, turn over to Isaiah chapter number 56. Isaiah chapter 56, which I have pre-marked. Yes, all right. Isaiah chapter number 56. So this guy he only had to read 3 other chapters, and what did this Ethiopian eunuch then start to read? Notice what it says there in verse number 3, Isaiah 56 and verse number 3. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. He's like, listen, I'm not a Jew, but I've kind of joined the Lord. And he's saying, listen, the stranger, that don't think that you're separated. Notice what else it says. It says, neither let the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree. And you know what? I bet when that eunuch read that, he's like, hey, that's me. And then he read the next verse. He says, for thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. And this guy's read 53 chapters and he realizes, hey, this Jesus died for me and he wrote this book for me. He reads 3 more chapters and it says, hey, you who's not a Jew, I'm talking to you. Hey, eunuch, I'm talking to you, eunuchs. And that's why this guy went on his way praising the Lord, because he kept reading this book and realized God's talking right to me. When's the last time that you started reading that book and realized, whoo, I don't know if anybody else in 3,000 years, ever since that was written, was realized that was my verse. God wrote that verse for me. and he just praised God reading his book. Do you know when we get to praise God in the church? It's not during the preaching. During the preaching is when God is giving us something from his word. When do we get to praise the Lord in a church service? We get to praise the Lord during the song service. Or maybe during testimony time. I go to, again, so many different churches, and you know what the song service is like?
Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice.
You better hear his voice, because you're not going to hear any of the people. I was glad when you all had some music and some volume tonight. Praise the Lord for that. And that's what it's supposed to be. I think that sometimes the Lord looks over at Gabriel and says, look at that, just makes me sick. All right, what some people are offering for praise. Praise ought to be out of our heart, just saying praise. It says make a joyful noise. Doesn't necessarily say make a beautiful noise, and that's kind of a good catch for some of us. But it does say we should make a joyful noise. This should be a time of praise to the Lord. God is worthy of our praise. In the 18th Psalm, verse 3, it says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. He says, the Lord is worthy of praise. So why don't we praise him? Well, because we get to thinking about our life and about what's going on in this world, and we take our eyes off of him, and we put our eyes down here, and when the minute you do that, you start thinking about how rotten things are. Whenever I had to go deal one time with a guy who had attempted suicide and was unsuccessful, and it was the son of one of the Kentucky senators, and the senator called me, said, Brother Lee, my son has attempted suicide, and I live in Lexington. He says he's in the UK hospital, and will you go visit with him? So I said, I will. Now, I have not done any counseling with a person who's committed attempted suicide. So I called my pastor. And I said, because my pastor's Brother Lonnie Moore. I don't know if you know Brother Lonnie. And he's very gifted at counsel. And so I said, Pastor, counsel me on how to counsel this person. He said, whenever you're dealing with somebody like that situation, the first thing you need to do is get their focus off of themselves. Because that is the most selfish act that a human being can commit. It's suicide. It's so self-centered. Not thinking about everyone else and how it's going to affect them. He says, you get that person focused on something else. And isn't that the way that we get sometimes when we get depressed? We all get focused on ourselves. But I found that if you start focusing on the Lord and you start focusing on others, and if you just have a time where you say, you know what, I'm just going to start praising the Lord for this, that, and the other. Even if you got something rotten going on in your life, you know what? You can praise the Lord for that. You can say, Lord, thank you. This didn't happen to me years ago. I told you, I got internal bleeding. Last week, I was in a meeting. I had to leave, go to the hospital. And the doctor says, you either have something that's going to kill you in 5 years, or it could be this easy thing I can fix in one little in and out surgery in the day. Well, of course, my mind and my wife's mind has been racing. Oh, it's something terrible, blah, 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 blah. But you know what I think God really loves when people praise him? Is when sometimes it's not easy to praise him. And I can say, Lord, if that's it, I've lived a better life than 99% of people ever lived on this planet. I've been able to go to a refrigerator full of food. I can live in the cool in the summer. I can live in the hot in the winter. I have lived like better than kings throughout all of human history. And if I got 5 years left, praise the Lord. It has been good. Praise God because he is worthy of praise. We're so easy to praise other things. My little girl, oh, goodness, little Hanny. Well, I can't call her Hanny, so I have to call her Hannah now because she's 15. And she had her birthday this year, and Hannah said, Dad, I would like to go for my birthday to a monster truck rally. Do I look like a monster truck rally kind of guy? I am a city guy. It's true, y'all may not be, but I enjoy the city life. My little girl, she wants to be a country girl. She thought when we moved from overseas and I was in the service, and I said, we're moving to Kentucky, I'm going to be a preacher. She thought they gave you a horse when you moved to Kentucky. All right? And she was a little girl, and she's like, I want a horsey, and was strangely disappointed. But anyway, she said, Daddy, I want to go over to the UK, the Rupp Arena there. It's just down the street, and I want to watch the Monster Truck Rally because it's my birthday. I said, well, that's what you want for your birthday. It's what we'll do. So we got tickets, and we go to this thing. I don't know if y'all have ever been to one of these things. So it's in Rupp Arena there. They've taken the basketball things out, and they put down dirt. And in the middle of the arena, they got this great big pile of dirt. And so these trucks come out, and they're all decked out fancy like dogs and all these other things. And this guy will get in his truck, and the people go crazy. They're like, woo, this is the guy, it's my favorite guy. And so he gets in his truck, he revs the engine real loud. You had to wear earmuffs because it was so loud. And he goes and he jumps over that pile of dirt and he lands. And everybody goes, oh, that was amazing. And he, you know what he did then? He turned around and he did it back the other way. He jumped over that pile of dirt and the people went, oh, that's amazing. And this went on for about an hour and a half. There was this one fella in front of me and he had his, I guess, his grandson with him. And he was nudging him. He says, now, that's something worth doing in your life. All this guy's doing jumping over dirt. And when we got done, people had bought hats that were the shape of the truck, of their favorite truck, and t-shirts, and they were all excited about it. And they were praising those guys for their ability to jump over dirt. And that's where I first got the Lord spoke to my heart. He's like, when's the last time you saw that in the service? When I started writing this sermon. We get super excited over people jumping over dirt. A guy who can throw a ball through a ring. Who cares? He can throw a ball through a little ring. And we get super excited over that. He can throw a little pigskin down there. Who cares? But people get excited. And if that's your thing, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. Get excited. Have a big time with it. Of course, if you're skipping church for it, that's wrong. But besides, on its own, there's nothing wrong with that. If it's your thing, enjoy it. But you know what? This is the Lord's house. And the Bible says in Psalm 18:3, He is worthy of our praise. Why don't we praise the Lord? We should praise the Lord because He is worthy of our praise. I think of the seraphims that are around God's throne, also there in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. And verse number 3 talks about the two seraphims that are constantly around God's throne. And this is what it says. It says, and one cried into another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And so you got this angel here, and you would think would have this the most wonderful descriptive things, and all he can think to say is, holy, 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 his whole life, his whole existence is just praising the Lord. But there's another one. And so this other one, he's like, well, I'll just add to that. And he can't think of anything to add except, he's holy, he's holy, he's holy. And that's what they do all the time. And if it's good enough for the angels, I think it's good enough for us. Whew, he is holy. He is worthy of our praise. So why don't we do it? Why? Well, because I wasn't feeling about praising tonight. I had a rough day. I had to go to the dentist. I had to go to work, and I work with politicians. Lord, even so, come quickly. He is worthy of our praise. If you're not going to loose your tongue, hold your breath. Number two, He's not only worthy of our praise, we should praise Him in the good times. And I kind of got ahead of myself there telling that story about praising God when it's the good times. I'll tell you something good that happened in the Capitol. We've had some trouble with under the Governor Beshear. He passed a regulation, not a law. A law would have been easy to change. He put a bureaucratic regulation in his last few months in office that required all preachers who are going to work in the juvenile detention centers, kid jail, they have to sign this document that says you won't say that homosexuality is a sin. You won't read any verses that say it is, and you got to sign this paper that promises that, or we're not going to let you back in. Well, the vast majority of guys said, oh, yeah, no problem, they signed it. But a few guys across the state called me and said, hey, Brother Lee, you know about this? And I did not, and they told me. They're like, I can't sign that. No way. And there's a guy in my church, he'd been doing juvenile detention center. That was his full-time job as a ministry for 20 years. And he had to go back out and get another job. He's like, I will not compromise and do that. And so it was election time, and I said, well, we'll see if Bevin wins. If Bevin wins, then we'll have a chance to get it reversed. If the other guy does, we don't have a shot. But Governor Bevin won. So I go in there, and I start working with his administration. I'm like, this is not a law. This is a regulation. So where there's all this, the governor can't just say, it's gone. The governor put it in, but we can't. The procedure says the governor can't take it out. Isn't that convenient? So for a year and a half, we've been working to get this reversed. And so finally, one of the lieutenant governor's staff said, Brother Lee, I'm going to a meeting later today to meet with the people and we can get this done. And remember about a year ago when we were working this, you brought me some papers and it had the testimony of the people who've been kicked out and how that's a violation of religious liberty and all that. You had all the regulation numbers right there. and the court cases, she said, if I could present that today in this meeting, then I think we can get this thing reversed today. And I said, yeah, I remember bringing that up to you. She's like, do you have that? I said, if you remember, I gave you that folder. And she's like, you did give me that folder. I said, well, no problem. Where's it at? She's like, it's in that cabinet. I'm like, perfect. She's like, no, Brother Lee. You don't understand. I up here working for Governor Bevin, I work 6 days a week, sometimes seven, 18 hours a day. And that's my folder where I put things that aren't labeled that I need to get to, but I don't have time. And she opened it up. This is probably a 7-foot cabinet. And there's nothing but from the top to the bottom, manila folders stuffed with papers. There is literally tens of thousands of papers, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of folders. And I gave it to her, and I didn't label it because I only had one folder with me. And she's like, it's in there somewhere. And my meeting now, after we've been talking, is 30 minutes. If I had it, Brother Lee, we could fix this. She's a Christian. She's a member of Brother Daryl Goodlett's church. I don't know if you know Brother Daryl. I said, Miss Adrian, let's pray. We prayed real quick. I said, Lord, your word cannot be read, and your men cannot preach. What we need is in there. Will you help us find it, Lord? Amen. Real short, real direct. She said, all right. There it is. Praise God. Praise God in the good times. You know, people always talk about the good old days. You know what? This is the good old days. We got somebody up in the White House, even if you don't like Trump, think about Vice President Pence. Strong testimony of salvation. Very public about it. You got a governor, lieutenant governor, with very strong public testimonies of salvation. We went out to the Capitol this year, last year, for the annual Christmas tree lighting. Usually, they'll sing Frosty the Snowman and sing Jingle Bells and stuff like that. You know what they did this year? The governor had the public school sing Silent Night and Old Little Town of Bethlehem. Then the lieutenant governor came up and read Luke chapter 2 out of the King James Bible and said, you got to trust Jesus to go to heaven. Praise God! This is the good old days. I remember when we used to have church on Wednesday night. A lot of churches don't have that anymore. You know, sometimes I'll be out preaching Sunday morning, and I got to drive home, and I can't get all the way back to Lexington. So when it comes about church time Sunday night, I'll pull over some town to find a church to go to. And it gets sometimes I can't find one to have service Sunday night. Do y'all still have service Sunday night? Praise God. Got a Christian school here, I believe. Praise God, I don't have to send my kids to that place where they deny everything this book says. Praise God in the good times. Now, sometimes we want to praise God, and He won't even listen to our praise because we're dripping over with the filth of this world. God, just because people are praising God with their little praise team or whatever, that doesn't mean God is actually listening or accepting that. Notice what the Bible says in the book of Amos, chapter 5, and verse number 22. Amos 5:22 says, though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. He's like, they're trying to offer the Lord all these sacrifices, all this worship, all this praise, and God says, I don't accept any of this. You know why? Because they're offering God these things while they're covered in the sins of this world. And so don't think, well, I'm just going to come to the church next week and I'm going to say, Brother R asked for testimonies. I'm going to give one. Lord, help this church if y'all don't give testimonies next time he asks for some. He said, I'm going to do that. But you know what? If we've got sin all over our life, then I think that God's not going to accept that. I reminded when I was stationed in South Carolina, Shaw Air Force Base, and the assistant pastor over there at church we went to was named Brother Johnny. And he was, and this has been 15 years ago, and he's probably 80 years old. At that time, he's probably passed away by now. But anyway, Brother Johnny, he was a little boy back in like the early 30s, something like that. And he lived out in the country. And he says, and of course, we didn't have a lot of things in the early 1930s. We didn't have a lot of ways to entertain ourselves. So one of the things that the little boys in my neighborhood used to like to do is on Halloween night, we would go around the different farmhouses because he lived in the country and we'd push down people's outhouses. Oh, and we thought that was the funniest thing, to push down outhouses. And he says, well, it came one year, and I was probably 6 years old or so, and we came out to old Farmer Smith's, and we pushed his down every year. Well, Farmer Smith had got tired of the little boys out in the county pushing his outhouse down every year. So you know what he did for the end of the night? He went inside, he took his outhouse, picked it up, moved it 3 feet to the left. And of course, it's dark. There's not street lights out like nowadays, and it's the country anyway, 1930-something. So little six-year-old Johnny goes running to push it down and goes, whoop! He says, I touched bottom. He says, and it went over my head, boom, boom, and my mouth was open. I came up and I was yelling, oh, help me, help me, help me. And none of my friends were there. He says, and so I had to try and crawl up through that pit. And of course, it's all slimy and nasty. And he's 6 years old and he's crying. He says, took me better part of 2 hours to get out of that thing. He says, and so now, I know he lived in the same type neighborhood that I did when I was growing up, where if you did something and the neighbor saw, you had a beating waiting on you when you got home. And so it's October 31st. He's cold. He's all drenched. He's stinking. He's got that nasty stuff. It's been in his mouth. He's crying. He's just a little guy. And he's going home. And daddy's out there to meet him. And he says, daddy, daddy. He wants his daddy to comfort him. And dad says, strip. He's like, you're not coming to my house with all that over you. No way are you tracking that in the house. Strip. He said, so I had to strip down naked. October. It's cold October 31st in the middle of the night. He says, and then daddy got the garden hose. And you know what garden hose water's like October 31st? He's already been cold and wet and crying, and he's a little fellow, and he hoses him down for a long time. He says, but then he did let me get inside, and he warmed me up. Y'all know what I mean. Now, isn't that the way, the reason I tell you that story is, isn't that the way we come to the Father? We're out in this world, and we want to have our little fun. Do we have any perfect people here tonight? All the perfect people, raise your hand. All the sinless perfection people. Brother Richard, you pastored this church all these years and you have no sinless perfection people? Wow. Just like you. Just like this preacher. No perfect people. Everybody in this room admits you've got some sin in your life. When's the last time you came to the altar and said, Lord, I've got a sin problem and I've had it for a long time? When's the last time that you came to church and the pastor says, how you doing? Because I bet he says that to almost everybody. And you know what almost everybody says? Fine. I bet nobody says to the preacher, you know what, preacher, I still have that sin problem. Nope, because we get comfortable with it. Had it last week, I'll have it next week. And we're dripping with the filth of this world. And we want to go to the Father. He's like, you're not coming to me with that stuff on you. You're not going in my house. I won't accept you like that. But you're like, but Father, I'm hurting. I have this heartache. I have this problem, Father. And you're supposed to be my Father, and I'm your child, and I'm hurting. The Father says, no, I can't accept you with that filth. You got to get clean first. And then you can come into my house. When's the last time that we said, you know what, God, I'm tired of the preaching of your word having no effect on me. And tonight, Father, I want to come here tonight. I want to thank you for another opportunity. And Lord, help me to get clean. We sometimes come down saying, I want to get cleaner. Why don't we just come down and say, I want to get clean. And God, you have me come to this church tonight to hear this service so that I can thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Father, for pointing this out to me. I've been lacking this for so long. And help me have that fresh, that new fresh oil. So then when I come to your church, I can say, oh, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Praise God in the good times. Praise God because he is worthy. And then third and finally, praise God in the bad times. In Acts chapter 5, verse number 41, we have John and Peter, and they have just suffered at the hands of some of the council, and they've been persecuted. And notice what it says about them. In Acts 5, 41, it says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. Now, if Brother Lee, I send a newsletter every month. If y'all want to get my newsletter, it's free. I got a little table out there. Sign your name up, and you can get my newsletter. I'd rather email it to you, but if you don't have email, put your mailing address, and it's free, and I'll send that to you. But let's say that you get Brother Lee's newsletter, and it says in there, this last month, this is what I did. I got arrested, and I got beaten, and I got threatened. Praise the Lord! Chances are, I hate to tell you this, it probably won't say that. If it says, I got arrested, and I got beaten, and I got threatened, woe is me, y'all pray for me. brotherly suffering. I'm afraid to say that's probably what I would say. That would not have been Peter and John's newsletter. There would have been, we were counted worthy to suffer for his name. Oh, praise God. The Bible says, all who will live righteous shall suffer persecution. Doesn't say may suffer. It doesn't say some who will live righteously. It says those who live righteously or godly shall suffer persecution. When's the last time you suffered any kind of persecution for living godly? When's the last time you stood up and you praised the Lord in a testimony time? It's easy to come up to a church and I can preach against liquor. And I can preach against smoking and adultery. I can talk about some of the wicked liberal things they're doing up in Frankfurt. And everybody say, amen, brotherly. Praise the Lord. You sit right. That's the truth, brotherly. You hit that. Chances are on Wednesday night, I probably don't have the adulterous, drinking, smoking liberal crowd. I have the faithful church people who come in the middle of the week. But it's not even a command. That's a good tradition of men. It was a tradition to meet in the middle of the week. So the Lord said, why don't you hit the thing that my people deal with? I hope you never come in this building and go out of this building the same way. May every time that you come in, somehow the reading, the preaching will have some kind of an effect in our lives, and we will go out a little bit different than what we came in. You may go out a little more righteous than what you came in. You may go out a little more comforted or encouraged than what you came in, depending on the need of your heart. God didn't have me come to here by accident. I had asked the brother, I said, Brother Richardson, can I just come make an announcement? I was going to talk about the abortion issue. He said, well, as long as you're coming, why don't you preach? God has this message for these people tonight. When's the last time that you were persecuted for living righteously, praising God in the bad times? I talked about it before. It's easy to praise God when it's good, but what about when something bad happens? Can you say, Lord, thank you for this heartache? Because it says, I'm to praise you in all things. And you get that report from the doctor, or you get that call in the middle of the night about your kid or your grandkid. First thing we will do is we want to go to God's throne asking him, oh Lord, help, oh Lord, heal, oh Lord, protect. It says to enter into his courts with thanksgiving and with praise. And the last time you came and said, Lord, thank you for this. It's drawn me closer to you. It's going to draw my family closer to you. Thank you, Father. It's good to give me an opportunity to talk to people about eternal matters when they never have thought about those before. Because when you can offer God praise in the hard times, I think the Lord's on his throne. He smells that. He's like, oh, that's a sweet savor. That's my people praising me and they got a heartache. That he'll accept. Because you know, it shows a lot of spiritual maturity if you can do it in the hard times. Sometimes I believe that most of the hard times that come in my life is because of my own stupidity. Usually I've done something stupid, and that's the reason that I've got a hard time. Every once in a while, it's the devil giving me a hard time, but to be honest, I probably give him more credit than he's due. It's usually my own flesh. And if you're, and you're all are probably the same way. But you know, sometimes God will, I don't think he causes the hard times, but I believe he allows them to teach us things. And sometimes a hard time will come into our life just so this lost world, or maybe the backslidden world, can see this is how a Christian, not necessarily a saved and Christian, two different things. Christian is someone who is acting like Christ. You can be saved and be not very Christ-like. But a Christian, one who is saved and acting like Christ, sometimes when the world sees that, they're like, and they see how you're reacting, it makes them want what you have. Brother Lee, you've been told you might have 5 years to live. Why are you out praising? Why aren't you home having a pity party? Because it is well with my soul. People don't understand that. And sometimes you've got to say, well, let me show you why it's well. See, let me point you to the man who told me it was going to be okay. And I can point people to them because you know what? This is the only thing that makes all the difference. Sometimes you may be out fighting. Somebody else may be out fighting. But you know what? You can say, oh, let me point you to the light of this world. Because there, it's a safe place. We'll finish with this illustration. I'm a big student of history. Love, especially the American Revolution. That's kind of my specialty. And Sunday is Constitution Day, by the way. If you don't have a copy of the Constitution, they're out on the table. And if you do have one, get another one. Send it to your congressman, because I don't think they have one. But it was during the Revolutionary War. And they signed the Declaration of Independence, we all know, July the 4th, 1776. 56 men signed that document. Did you know that within 6 months, 50% of those men were dead? The year 1776 is not even over. 50% of the signers have been killed by the British in the first 6 months. Which is why Benjamin Franklin said when he signed, gentlemen, we must now all hang together, or assuredly we will all hang separately. George Washington is commander of the Continental Army. He's got a few ragtag farmers together, no professional soldiers, and he has gone from one defeat to another defeat to another defeat. They have not won a battle yet. And half the guys who signed it are dead. And he realizes if we don't get a victory real quick, the rest of these guys are going to go back home to their shops and their farms, and this whole idea of a free, independent nation is going to be over because nobody's going to join an army that always loses. He's like, I've got to get a victory quick or this is going to be over come first of the year. So he struck on an idea. He's like, I'll know what I'll do. I'll do a surprise attack. Classic military strategy. I'll attack a British forces, some Hessians that were German mercenaries that worked for the British. He says, I'll attack them on Christmas morning because nobody would expect that. And you've probably all heard about the famous painting of Washington crossing the Delaware Christmas night, 1776, December 24th. So he puts word out for men to come to him so he can do this attack. Well, one of the fellows that showed up, because there's several showed up, was a black guy, a free black man, which was rare at that day. Free black man by the name of Thomas Graves. And he says, Mr. Washington, I'll fight for America's freedom because if anybody knows the value of freedom, it's my people. And this new land may give us our freedom. I'll fight for you. And brought my son with me and we'll both fight. Now, Thomas Graves' son was a little guy. He's about 12 years old. His name was Jocko. General Washington said, Mr. Graves, I'll be happy to have you fight with us tonight. But he turned to Jocko and says, Jocko, your father and these other men and I are going to do things that a 12-year-old should not do. We're going to see things that a 12-year-old boy should not see. So you're not going to go with this, but I need you to do a special mission for the general. When we cross this river and we go over to attack the Hessians, if the fight goes bad, the only way we're going to survive, we've got to retreat, come back across this river. It's night. There's fog. I need you to take this lamp. I gave him a lantern. I need you to hold this lantern out. And I need you to hold the horses. He says, he's my horse. I want you, you're the groomsman. A groomsman's one who holds the horses. He says, you hold the horses with the rings, and you hold this light. And if we need to run, we need to be saved, because we're all about to die. The only thing that's going to help us to know where to go across this river in the night is if we see that light. He says, so you have an incredibly important job. So the men get into the boats that night, and they start crossing the Delaware. Two men freeze to death, hypothermia, during the river crossing. Two of the soldiers freeze to death before the battle. Well, the battle goes on. Washington and his men do the attack, and they win the victory. First real victory the American Continental Army had. They cross back over the river. They find that one of the casualties that night was Jocko Graves. He had not been killed by a British soldier or Hessian that was trying to escape. Jocko Graves, like those two soldiers during the crossing, had frozen to death that night. Remember, this is way up north in the middle of winter. And you can imagine the clothes, or I don't know if the little boy even had any shoes a little black boy would have in 1776. Froze to death. The amazing part of the story is that he had locked his knees and he was still holding that horse and leaning against it, and he was still holding that lamp, standing up, frozen to death. And General Washington's heart broke. He's like, this is a faithful groomsman. And he commissioned, he says, I want a statue built at Mount Vernon, his home. Maybe you've seen replicas of this little statue. It's of a little black boy who's either holding out a lamp or holding out a little ring for the horses. The first one was called the Faithful Groomsman. It was meant to honor the boy. Today, people don't even know their history, and they think it's some kind of racial slur. It was to honor one of the heroes of the Revolution. And just like that little boy, I bet the little boy, when he's holding that light out and there's nobody else, they're all on the other side of the river and he can hear the bullets and the cannons and the men yelling and screaming. And he's cold. He's like, you know what? If I just set these horses down and take the fire in this lamp and go over here, build me a little shelter and get some firewood going, I bet I could stay warm. He's like, I got to hold this lamp out because it's the only way some people are going to be saved. And he's alone and it hurts. But he's like, I got to have this light out there so that people will know how to be saved. Sometimes when you're hurting and you're alone and you feel it'd be a whole lot easier if I were just to give up and go back, God says, I want you to hold that light up. I want you to point all men to that light because that's the hope of the world. How do you point people to that light? When you're hurting and you're alone, you're just like, you know what, I want to praise God. Let me point to Him. People say, what are you pointing at? Let me tell you about who I'm pointing to. When you got the good times, you're like, whew. Let me point you to the source of all the good times, the source of my life. Praise God because He is worthy. Praise God in the good times. Praise God in the bad times. Oh, that people would praise the Lord. When the psalmist wrote four times in one chapter, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His mighty acts. You can hear the lamentation of the psalmist. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. If I can have everyone stand, please.